The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined here in the studio by Shaq. A hair stop. Later on in the program, we'll be discussing whether or not it would be right for Harry Kane to leave Spurs in a quest to actually win some silverware. But first, we welcome to the show. What a lineup this is. Jurgen Klinsmann, Frank LaBeouf, and Alessandro Del Piero, of course, all men who've experienced winning the World Cup. We'll talk about the qualifiers of your respective countries in a moment, but I want to focus on the fact that there is no VAR or goal line technology in these World Cup qualifiers, of course, highlighted with that late goal not being given for Cristiano Ronaldo. This is what Fernando Santos had to say, the Portugal head coach. The referee apologised and told me that he was ashamed. I was in the changing room with him and he apologised. He told me on the pitch that he was going to look at the images, and if it was the case, he would call me to apologise, and that's exactly what he did. Jurgen, I want to start with you because we talk about the World Cup being the competition, you know, the biggest tournament in the world of soccer and beyond. Yet in the qualifiers for this tournament, they're not using the technology that's available. That's embarrassing, isn't it?
It is absolutely embarrassing. I mean, this is it is crazy. I mean, we're in 2021 and goal line technology and VAR is just normal for everybody to have. I can only assume that it was a logistic issue why they didn't do it in all the stadiums, but it has to be. I watched a friendly game yesterday between the Los Angeles Galaxy and New England Revolution, and they had goal line technology and VAR in a friendly scrimmage. And then you see Ronaldo score that clear goal, not giving, last minute, a real drama. And obviously, I mean, he has to be upset. He has to be furious. And I really like the fact that the referee went to the locker room to apologize. He's only a human being. I mean, from his perspective in that moment, maybe he didn't see it clearly. Maybe the linesman couldn't see it clearly. But obviously, we on TV, we could see it clearly that it was goal. It was a clear goal. No, it's very embarrassing. It's embarrassing especially for UEFA.
Yeah, Frank, you take a look at this, don't you? And you can't blame the officials that much because it is difficult. It wasn't that close, but that's why we use technology.
Yes, we just went back to what we know, Alessandro, Shaka, and Jurgen, and myself, you know, where referees were making mistakes, but we couldn't go too much on them because they're just human beings. But now that we have the technology, and Jurgen said it, and we don't have too much to add, it's a shame. It's really shameful what we saw against France, against Ukraine. Griezmann scored a goal, but Pavard was offside just before. And that's something we don't want to see anymore because we know that we have a new technology and they have to use it. I mean, I don't know, they can get a mortgage, and I know the UEFA or FIFA on top of it to make sure that everybody has a VAR. That's absolutely crazy. There is no excuses whatsoever to explain to us that a qualification for a World Cup game hasn't got the VAR help for referees.
Ali, of course, we saw Ronaldo's reaction when the goal wasn't given, furiously walking off the pitch, throwing down the captain's armband. That has received quite a lot of criticism in Portugal. Fernando Mira, the former international, coming out and saying it's unacceptable for your captain to do that. What do you think?
I think that the pressure of the game, the importance of the game, the ambition of the guys is definitely something that it's tough to extreme, right? And it's not easy to be in his feet and understand what he's feeling about that. You know, last minute goal didn't allow them. But yes, the reaction was, it's an overreaction. You shouldn't acting like this in that way. It's okay to be angry. It's okay to discuss about that. Also, you know, speak louder with the referees. But throwing the armband and keep going like this, it's too much for somebody that represents as a captain and represent an iconic figure like him.
Jürgen?
Yeah, in the first moment, you know, it looks a little bit overreacted and a bit too much. But, you know, when you're just still in the game, you've got the winning goal is allowed. I mean, it's just last minute of the game. Are you just furious? You're furious. And you're not thinking about what, you know, people now say about you because you throw away the armband, you know, and you're furious walking into the locker room right away and you're shaking hands maybe with the opponent team. I think, you know, we put too much into that. You know, it's no big deal, really, at the end of the day. You know, the big deal is a goal that got disallowed, you know, that was a clear goal. You know, and that's 3 points for Portugal. That's the big deal coming out of this whole thing. And that's why I think, you know, Ronaldo's reaction, you know, it's for me, it's fine.
That's the big picture, isn't it, Shaka? From all of this and everything that we're discussing is that in the end, this decision could cost Portugal a place in the World Cup.
Absolutely, and that's the overarching aspect to this here. Given the competition that we're in, given what the World Cup quite clearly means to Ronaldo as the one world title in any aspect that he hasn't won, you understand. On the other side to that, as much as you want to sympathise with him showing his emotion and the frustration of it, you're Portugal captain. And I just feel as captain, you never leave your players out on the field unless you're getting substituted. Also as captain, you are the one with the responsibility to approach your referee. So, you know, do so. I think you have that responsibility to the team. So for me, I understand the criticism, but ultimately I think the team and his teammates kind of understand his sheer frustration. So it goes two ways.
It kind of compounded what was a frustrating performance from Ronaldo overall. And one thing which was highlighted once again was the fact that he was the main man taking the free kicks. People looked at, for example, Bruno Fernandes and his record for Manchester United, and comparing that to Cristiano Ronaldo, who's only scored one free kick out of 73 attempts for Juventus. And you start to question, well, whether or not Ronaldo should be the free kick taker. And the issue I suppose you have there, Jürgen, if you're Fernando Santos, is that you're in a situation where do you really want to be telling your main man that he shouldn't be taking the free kicks? How do you handle that if you're the Portuguese coach?
Well, how do you handle it? I think it would be a good question for Alessandro because he took all the free kicks and he scored them most of the time. I think, you know, it's down to a talk. It's down to a talk. You know, you got to kind of sit him down and discuss the whole thing. You know, what's happening with the free kicks? You know, you're not as efficient as you were before. Would you mind maybe we switch it around? You know, have a cup of coffee with him and go talk about it. Straightforward. I think it's no problem. If you have a player like him and he lives with criticism now even more because how he walked off the field there. And those are the things that actually a world-class player like him appreciate. They appreciate an honest word from their coach, you know, to say, you know, this is all right and this is not all right. What are we doing about it? And it's also important for the coach because you want to have the locker room behind you. You want to have the other 20, 25 players behind you. And so they maybe even expect that from you to say, hey, you know, at one point, you know, do we have a word about this kind of free kick situation or not? So I would just sit him down and have an open talk.
Jürgen, I've no clairvoyant, I've no crystal ball, but I could probably imagine how that talk would go. Do you still think you should be taking the free kicks? Yes, I should. Okay, all right then. Because this is Ronaldo, and I imagine, like any top sportsman, he thinks the next free kick is the one he is going to take. So what will it take for Fernando Santos to go against him?
No, he's not going against him. He's going to have an open talk with him. So very important there is, you know, what words you use going into this conversation, you know,
right.
how you frame it. Maybe you have to lay out the espresso first nicely to him. Maybe he wants a piece of cake, you know, and then once he's kind of smiling all over his face. Let me bring in Alessandro and have Alessandro have a good word with him because he's got all those free kicks.
So, Alessandro, of course, you're one of the best free kick specialists that Italy has ever seen. Ronaldo clearly off the boil here, but I imagine if you were in this sort of funk and struggling, you still want to be the man taking the free kicks because you still have belief in yourself.
Yeah, definitely, yes. What is bringing Jurgen in the conversation is something, is honest talk between you and the, eventually the players that are allowed to take that free kick. And this is what happened also in my career where, for example, Zidane joined me or Pirlo joined me in the team. We talk. We don't even need the coach to be talk about that. As a grown man, you talk about who's going to take it, why, in which moment of the game I'm more fresh because I'm coming from the bench, or no, I feel it in that moment. This is the kind of thing that you should do. So if I can add one thing is, instead of the coffee, let's bring a chamomile in that conversation. So maybe, you know, everybody, you know, cool down. And I don't want to make a joke of that, but it's a serious point because as you say, as you show on the numbers, this has happened already in the at Juve for a long time. It's also true that Ronaldo in the last competition, the Portugal, he scored an amazing free kick and winning against Spain. So it's a difficult, but have to be a conversation at this point from my point of view.
But Ale, isn't it just a battle of egos? And we know history has told us that Cristiano Ronaldo is very much the king of that. And that not necessarily a derogative thing. That's what's made him so good. That drive that he's continued to show year in, year out. You can imagine Bruno Fernandes going, oh, shall I take this on him, going, no.
I mean, who say that he's a king? There's every player that score more than 25 free kicks say that they are the best. Mm. Numbers don't lie. Numbers doesn't lie, never. And for sure, Cristiano is a guy that can score a lot on the free kick. He's going through a period that is really tough. So that's why I'm supporting Jurgen and say, okay, let's sit down and talk about that. Maybe we can do one and one. In some specific moment. Also, you have this problem with, we had Pjanic before, in the years before, that was the best scorer on the free kick in all the Serie A. So they have to talk about that. Now you have Dybala, for example. So you need to discuss with the people that are good in that, not somebody random, of course, but somebody that have some kind of numbers that can say, okay, listen, I score 20, so let's discuss about that. I believe that.
Frank?
Yeah, I read an article about Ronaldo and the fact that he's missing free kicks, but the third goalkeeper of Juventus, I think it's Carlos Pinsolio, just said that every time that he's training on free kicks, after every training session, every shot that he makes is in goal, and it's a goal every time. So he said he's full of confidence, so he believes that he can do it when he's... is in the game, and it's there is no lack of confidence in Ronaldo's game, and it's why he thinks he can score. So it's hard to say, okay, I'm gonna give the ball to somebody else to shoot. That's the main problem. He's extreme. It's how he became maybe the GOAT of football. It's just because he believes that he can score every time he has the ball in his feet. So I just have an advice for him. Frankie says, relax.
I don't think that's a copyright. Frank, I'm just intrigued. Like, for example, that France side, full of so much experience that you played in, Zidane be the one taking most of the free kicks. If he went through a slump like this, what role would his teammates have in helping decide whether or not he would continue?
Well, there is the leader. So let's say Zidane was the number one, but Youri Djorkaeff could have been the number two, and there would have been somebody else. Maybe Laurent Blanc could have been the number three. So I guess the captain, Didier Deschamps, would have come in the middle of the park and say, okay, guys, what do you want to do? Don't start fighting. You know, we have cameras, we have fans, so you be diplomatic and try to find a deal. It's what happened to me when I was at Chelsea and just after Gianfranco Zola signed for Chelsea. And you know that you had to let him go because he's a real specialist. So it's a discussion, as Alessandro said, maybe not even with the coach, but between the players. And sometimes, you know, the captain maybe has to say, you know what, Zizou, last time you missed, the one before you missed, so maybe leave a place, leave a room for Yuri. And that may be a possibility. Is it possible with Ronaldo? I don't know. I'm not sure.
And Jürgen, this fascinates the whole thing of letting
the
players...
Can I say something, Dan?
Yeah, of course, Ali.
It's not possible because Ronaldo is the captain of the team. So he's not bringing himself talking about that.
You think for me here, Dan, I don't think we'll ever see Ronaldo not take the free kicks for Portugal.
Right.
Because on the one hand, despite what the numbers say, Ronaldo to concede those free kicks, he has to basically admit that he's second best at something. And Cristiano Ronaldo will never, while he's still putting on a pair of football boots, accept that he's second best at anything. So just from a pure personality point, he's not going to concede that to Fernando Santos or anybody else. On the other side, as one of the Portuguese players or one of the Juventus players, even as you look at his numbers, as poor as they are, the trade-off for you is, do you let him take the free kick and have Ronaldo at his best self for the other 89 minutes and 45 seconds? Or do you say to him, I'm taking this free kick, and have him sulk from then till the end of the game? And the trade-off is, let him have the free kick. We want him at his best for the remainder of the game. So ultimately, nothing's going to change.
But, Jürgen, aren't we talking about Ronaldo as if he's a spoiled child? This is someone who wants to win trophies, and him not taking free kicks shouldn't then lead to him sulking in the corner.
Well, I think, you know, Ronaldo is Ronaldo, and we're talking about one of the best in the world since the last, you know, in the last 15 years. But nobody is perfect, you know, and now in this case, you know, he's not perfect with the execution of his free kicks. But I think Xhaka is totally right, you know. I want to get the best Ronaldo possible on the field, and if I'm the national team coach or if I'm the coach of Juventus Turin. So I will do everything to maximize him up to the 100%, you know, and if it's only 95%, I make sure these 95% are fine. So if it's good for his confidence, for his overall mood, for his energy, that he's just taking those free kicks still, even if maybe Bruno Fernandes and the national team maybe here and there is better, I still let him do that. So I mean, as a coach, as a manager, one of your main challenges is, how do I get the maximum out of my players, every single individual players? And you have 11 on the field and you have 10 on the bench, you know, and you got to stimulate them, you got to inspire them, and you got to make them happy in being really confident going into the game. So I would do, obviously, based on what he did over the last 15 years and who he is and how hard he still works. I mean, as Frank said, rightfully so, he's out there every day. He's training those free kicks still every day, and he scores most of them in a training session. So right now it's just an issue of focus, maybe concentration, but whatever is the issue. No, only he knows probably. But I would just support him as much as I can. And take the fact that maybe, you know, instead of the 100%, I get 97, but I'd rather get the 97% instead of kind of getting him down to 80 or 70%.
Ali, does that make sense to you?
Yes, makes sense. The balance, only the coach can find the balance, first of all. And what you guys say about Cristiano, that is absolutely one of the best ever in these sports, and in scorings and even free kick. It's, you need to have the same from all the other players. So the balance is between himself and the other players. This is the fact. You know, when you are a coach, I believe, I'm not a coach anymore, not yet, sorry, but I believe that is a situation where you need to find the balance to bring from everybody, because in some part of the game, in most of the part of the game, you need the help of all the other teammates, also the people that come from the bench. So have everybody excited about that and going to the same path. It's very, very important. And sometimes the fact that you are taking a step back doesn't mean that you are the second choice in the free kick or in the penalties. It's also a big responsibility to take that kind of free kick and penalties. So, and we love him about that, because he's taking all the time responsibility. He's not scared about that. But sometimes it's good also to involve some other players and to show to the team, hey guys, I'm here for you guys, not only, you know, to take my responsibility.
But does he have, Ali, the capacity to do that? I suppose that's the million-dollar question.
I think he has this capacity. Yeah, for sure. He has it. It's sometimes it's a matter of fact that you need to talk, to discuss about some things with your teammates. Frank say a good option, you know. There was Zidane, Djorkaeff, Blanc, Deschamps. Amazing players, and we can add on and on in that team that was incredible personality and leaders in their role. So you need to show up and discuss about some things. And maybe they did, and they found out, you know what? Cristiano, go ahead. It's your pick. It's your choice. And this is what happened, maybe. We don't know. But we are talking about numbers. And the last number in the last 3 years, I'm talking about Juventus, especially, not Portugal, are quite impressive in a negative way.
Last point, Frank. Does he have the capacity to do that?
Yeah. Yes, he has. And you know one thing, if he give the ball, the next free kick that Portugal's going to, next game they're going to play, if he give the ball to Bruno Fernandes next game, we'll know one thing, is that Ronaldo is watching ESPN FC.
Yeah.
Because he will have seen
He's the only one, I think.
I tell you what, I could talk about this all day. It's really interesting. Let's just confirm where things stand. Portugal, of course, unbeaten, still level on points with Serbia at the top of Group A. Those will finish top two, I suppose. It's all now in which order?
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Italy made it 2 wins out of 2 in World Cup qualifying, going away against Bulgaria, winning by 2-0. Alessandro Del Piero is still with us. Ali, it's 3 points. It keeps them perfect. But this was pretty unspectacular, wasn't it?
Yeah, it wasn't definitely the best match of Italy that they played. It's okay. It's okay. Our mentality, it's okay. What it means that, you know, we have a lot of consecutive games like this, you are really focused on the result. And Mancini changed 5 players. And always, Sofia was a really, really tough field for us. Mm. We drew twice. We lost twice. Never won before. So tonight they make the history. And they make history in many situations, not only that, because it's the fifth time, consecutive time that we have a clean sheet. So Mancini is really focused on result and facts. And he's doing an amazing job. He's breaking records and records for Italian coach. And this is another fact. And he got 2 wins in the last 4 days. So,
looking ahead to the Euros, inevitably the question will be, how far can Italy go? What do you think?
Well, the fact that it's changing a lot of players and it's tried new players, this is the main reason, because it's focused on the long term as well. Mm. It's not only the short terms. We have a lot of good talent players that didn't play that much in Europe. I'm talking with their own teams or in the national teams. Though he needs to see them facing these games and to facing these European and world challenges. So that is giving them the possibility to play is very, very important, to get experience and in the meantime grow as a team. So yeah, it's will be tough when you're gonna face, you know, the big country. You know, we faced France and we lost 3-1 2 years ago. So it will be challenging, but I believe that when the time comes, in order to be on the spot, you know, in the final stage, Italy will be present and say, yes, we are here.
Alessandro Piero, as always, thank you very much. According to the bookies, Italy very much outsiders going into the tournament. There's some 8 favourites. England, of course, are the favourites. 2 wins out of 2 for Germany in World Cup qualifying. They went away to Romania to win by 1-0. Serge Gnabry with the only goal of the game. Jürgen, it's points, isn't it, for Germany. Serge Gnabry once again scoring. I was seeing his stats. He's got 15 goals in 19 games for Germany. It's quite extraordinary.
Yeah, this kid is quite special. I mean, came out through the last 2 years. It's really fun to watch him. Overall, I mean, the German team had plenty of opportunities in this game to add a second, third or fourth goal. They didn't do it. And at the end, they really risked the result. They risked the 3 points because Romania came a couple of times with breakaways and became really dangerous for Manuel Neuer. So thanks God they keep the 3 points, Germany, so they're clear. Their goal was clearly for these 3 World Cup qualifiers was 9 points. Yeah. So they are on the way to do that. They have 6 points after 2 games. Overall, it was an interesting game to watch because Romania was not hiding. They were going at them. They were very aggressive, sometimes even playing man-marking on Joshua Kimmich and other players from the German side. So it was fun to watch.
How do you explain Gnabry's rise? Obviously, people remember him at West Brom and Arsenal, didn't really make any sort of impression. Goes to Bayern and he's absolutely flying. Did you always have an inkling that he was going to be this good?
Well, you see the talent of a player, and then you obviously hope that they, at a certain point, show this on the field when it really matters. The bigger the stage gets, that the calmer they stay. And he seems a player that the moment he moved to Munich, somehow, you know, with his confidence, the confidence rose to be a player of Bayern Munich is something very, very special. He got used to play on the highest level. He kind of pushed himself really hard. And he is always at the right spot at the right time. So he has a nose for where the ball drops in the 18-yard box. Is very good in combining with his teammates, obviously with Sané, you know, from his club, but also with the other ones in the German side. There's a blind understanding, but his record is really, really impressive.
Jürgen Klinsmann, as always, thank you very much. A lot more reaction to those World Cup qualifiers that we've seen over the past few days over on our YouTube channel. Be sure to check it out. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Goals from Harry Kane, Mason Mount gave England a 2-0 victory away against Albania, meaning their 100% start to Group I continues. Nader Manua joins us to reflect on this game. Nader, what were your reflections on this game?
Well, it's as we've seen earlier in the show, this is exactly why England are favourites, because they can beat Albania. This is what you can do. No, but in all seriousness, it was one of those things where it could have been some type of a slip-up, but overall, they were quite clinical in terms of the way they kept the ball, they limited the mistakes, and it was a game which obviously they had to win, and they did that. They managed it overall quite well. And with the team that you see here, for me personally, I'm excited to see people like Foden and Mount linking up together, and Phillips as well getting a chance in there. And it, overall, it's quite a progressive team for England, given the fact that it was only 3 years ago. We were seeing what essentially at times was a 5 at the back and things like this. But for England, I guess they're optimistic, but the bigger game, as we probably know, is going to be the one against Poland coming up in a few days' time. And I think the formation that Southgate goes for in that game is probably going to indicate what he's going to be looking for come the European Championships, when that difficulty level just gets that little bit higher.
Well, Harry Kane back on the score sheet for this game, and some interesting quotes ahead of the clash about his future at Spurs. Obviously, always up in the air. And he said, "I think that's a hard question to answer right now. It's important. All my focus is on the two England games coming up now and the rest of the season with Spurs and then the Euros. Look, I try to stay out of speculation as much as possible." That's all stuff we've kind of heard before from Harry Kane. This is the interesting sentence. "I'm fully focused on doing the job on the pitch from now until the end of the summer, and then we'll see where we go from there." Jürgen and Frank back with us as well. Jürgen, I feel drawn to you as a man who left Spurs to pursue silverware. Is that something for Harry Kane, who's 28 in July, should be looking to do as well?
Well, obviously, he knows now, kind of until the end of the season, how big the possibility is to win silverware with Spurs in the next 2 or 3 years. I mean, he knows, obviously, the club inside out. He knows his teammates, the roster. He has a world-class coach with Jose Mourinho. So he has a good feeling for the probability of winning trophies with Spurs, you know. And then he will make up his mind. I think he has to, because, as you said, he's 28 years this summer. Maybe he wins his first big trophy with the European Championship in England this summer, because the finals are in London. But definitely, I mean, this is going through your mind. It's just an automatic. As a player of his category, you badly want to collect trophies, as many as you can. Having those thoughts now is, I think, for me, a totally normal thing. Yeah, it could be maybe a surprise this summer when he comes out and says, "I'm moving on."
Frank, if he was to ring you for advice, what would you tell him to do? In the game, not in life.
I'm sorry for the Spurs fan. It would have been different maybe if they would have won the Champions League 3 years ago. But now it's time for him to, you said, get silverwares and go for another club, because I don't think that Tottenham will soon get something out of it in domestic competition, but also in Europe. So, because at the end of the day, you know, what you're going to look at the end of a career, of course, the game that you played, the satisfaction that you had to play maybe 500 game or 700 game for the same club, but it's mostly your resume. And for him, you have no lines. And it's time for a player of his standard to have many, many lines, because he deserves to have many, many lines. Does it mean that he has to leave Spurs? Yeah, I think it's time for him to leave Spurs to get something something for himself and to be a little bit selfish.
Nathan, would you look to leave in the summer if you were him?
I think the question that was asked of him was a very, very good question, because he can only answer it in certain ways. Because the fact was, do you need to leave Spurs to win trophies? And now Spurs are a team who haven't won a trophy in 13 years. So you can't say, no, of course I want to stay. We're going to win trophies. We're going to do this, because the history is not there. So you have to have this sort of answer, which kind of acknowledges the fact that Spurs don't win trophies and other teams, you know, they exist and they're more ambitious than Spurs. Because for as good as Spurs are, they want to win something at the start of every year. But there are lots of teams who need to win something as every season begins. And Harry Kane, I think he falls into that category. And, you know, he would suit a team that wants to go for 4 trophies every season, because he seems to have that type of desire, that ability level, that sort of way to step up on the biggest occasion. And, you know, I don't know if he will leave. I don't know what the price tag's going to be. But, you know, if for as good as Spurs are, they're not the type of team where, as I say, at the start of every season, the aim is to win everything and the expectation is to win at least one thing. Otherwise, it's a failed season.
So, Nathan, if you were in his position, would you push to move?
I think it would depend. It would depend on what really inspires him and what the club would be saying. I think it's an easy decision. It'd be easy for us to say, yeah, do this, but there's a lot of pressure. It's not just a simple, decision, because that's his club. Harry Kane is Spurs. You know, that's the way that it works. And I don't think pushing for a move is essentially the right thing. I would say, I would love for him to leave Spurs.
Okay, you should embrace the political career, you know, where you never answer the right question. Okay.
I think he shouldn't ask to move, but the club will probably listen to offers this time around. That's what I'll say. And I think he'll leave at that point. Okay. He shouldn't push. I think he might just leave anyway.
All right. That makes no sense whatsoever. There we are.
Thank you very much, guys. Just a reminder, plenty of content over on our YouTube channel and also on the website as well. You can download our daily podcast. As always, there's plenty of bonus material there. So, France with a 2-0 win. It means that they register their first win of the campaign, puts them top of Group D. Frank LaBeouf is with us. We welcome Ali Moreno as well to the show. Frank, whoa, that was exciting.
Yes, yes, I think we're going to go through. I think we're going to qualify. You know, we were, you know, wondering, you know, after that draw against Ukraine at home, you know, if we could go, you know, good against Kazakhstan, even away from home. Well, it was a discipline, seriously, it was a discipline, professional performance from France. And after, you know, the first goal, it was already over because France dominated the game. It would have been different, of course, with fans, you know, playing away from home in Kazakhstan. But we could have said the same for Bulgaria against Italy or England, Albania against England. But they did what they had to do. It was nice to see Dembele, and Dembele had a very good game, scored a goal, but was very prolific at front. And that's pretty much what we can say about that game. They're going to play another game away from home, and we're going to see what's going on. But we have no doubt that France is going to go in Qatar with the group that they are in, yeah. And that's it. But they have to do the job. They play on AstroTurf. We didn't want to see any injury, and we didn't. Martial got a little kick, but everybody was scared that he could have been injured because of the pitch. But at the end of the day, nothing much to say.
No, nothing much to say, and you could say that about pretty much all the big teams, Ali. Am I just expecting too much? Because you look at the players on the show today, surely you would expect them to go in and really put on a performance against Kazakhstan.
Couple of things, Dan. Just a little bit of context about Kazakhstan. This is a team that over the last year has lost to teams like Cyprus, Belarus, Lithuania. Okay, so they're not very good, right? And here's the other side to that argument is, okay, France rotating players, only Lloris and Griezmann kept their places from the starting 11 that played against Ukraine. So these guys are getting an opportunity to play. They're all fresh, they're all ready to go. And what you saw was professional, comfortable performance. It was a training session. It wasn't anything more than that. And after the first goal, yes, of course, it was over. But you wanted to see a little bit more from France in terms of consistency of the passing. Turnover after turnover at times for no apparent reason. That there's a moment in which Mbappe comes on the game and he makes a difference because he is Mbappe, but he could have scored four goals himself and doesn't do that and misses a penalty as well. I think if you're France, you want to find continuity. You want to find positive energy and positive momentum. And you do that by scoring goals and by playing well and feeding into the confidence of the team. I can't say that France played all that great today. They were just playing against a team that looked like an amateur group that was just out there trying to do the best they possibly could. Of course, France was always going to win. I just expect better, just like you do, Dan.
Arguably, the game of the day was Georgia against Spain. What a match this turned out to be. Dani Olmo scoring a late, late winner, which you would see Spain come from behind to get the win. Ali, this was a game that you were focusing on. It was a good match, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, particularly because Georgia, whenever they did attack, they created problems for Spain. And Spain, yes, in the first half, they had all sorts of possession, and they're passing the ball sideways and back and sideways and back. Then they get to the final third, and nothing really happens. Whereas Georgia, off a header, they should have scored. Nay Simón comes up with a save. And then Caracterella comes up with a goal and a nice finish down the left-hand side, and it's 1-0 Georgia. And you're thinking, well, this couldn't be happening. Well, yes, it could, because Georgia, even though they were limited with the chances, they had better chances than Spain in the first half. Second half was marginally better from Spain, and they fell into the same thing. They pass, do not create anything. Pass, do not create anything. And if I'm Luis Enrique, I'm sitting this team down tomorrow in the film session, and I'm saying, guys, look at this. We switch the point of attack, we find Jordi Alba, he crosses the ball into an early cross, into a dangerous area, and what happens? We got two people attacking the ball in the box, and that's a goal. So we don't really have to recirculate the ball back and forth. An early cross can help it. And by the way, we're tying the game 1-1 late, and how do we get the game winner? from a long distance shot. And yet another way in which you can open up a team, and yet another way that Spain doesn't try very often or very consistently. They're always passing. If I'm Luis Enrique, I'm saying, hey, early crosses every once in a while, shots from distance every once in a while. Let's have a little variety to our attack so that we're not in a position in which we're trailing against Georgia, difficulties against Georgia, and imagine if this game had ended up 1-1. Oh my God, all the conversation about struggles in the first game against Greece, struggles in the second game against Georgia, and how is it gonna get better? Spain, they won, but they should be concerned about the way they're playing in the final third.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Just a reminder, Extra Time is always available over on our YouTube channel. Be sure to check it out.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Let's head to Belfast, Northern Ireland, taking on the US men's national team. It'll be the US who would take the lead 30 minutes in. Joe Rayner with the shot, takes deflection.
Yeah, not the cleanest of strikes from Joe Rayner, but the US get lucky here. Takes a huge deflection, finds the reach back to be there.
Into the second half we go. Christian Pulisic wins the penalty.
Yeah, and this is just a really good drive and run by Christian Pulisic. Draws the contact. I don't think there's any doubt about the decision.
Despite Frank's nonsense, it's Pulisic who steps up. Converts the spot kick to make it 2-0.
Makes it look very easy, Christian Pulisic.
Nice goal in the end here from Narva Kin to make it 2-1.
Yeah, just coming on to the loose ball. And it sits up him really nicely. Finds a wonderful looping finish. The US don't cover themselves in too much glory initially, but again does well with the finish.
So the US then with the victory. Let's welcome back, shall we, Ali and Jürgen. Jürgen, your big takeaway from the game today?
Very, very positive. It was really fun to watch this game. I mean, maybe standouts, Christian Pulisic had a very good game, full of energy. Very dynamic, you know, kept all the pieces together. I think Giovanni Reina did well in the first half. A lot of positives to take away from this game. I mean, obviously, to win in Europe a game in Belfast is a great thing to do. And then see all these youngsters coming through the ranks. I mean, just expressing themselves and growing. And it was a very mature performance by the U.S. team. So a huge compliment there to Greg Berhalter and the entire team.
Who impressed you today, Ali?
Well, Jürgen mentioned some of the names there, but I'm going to go with Jonas Musa, a player that gives you something different, an element of pace and speed and a freedom to his running, running at people throughout the course of the first half, creating half chances for himself and for others. And I think that's really the difference here with the United States when you watch this generation of players is that, yes, you have a solid team. Yes, you have players that can play behind the ball, but you also have individual players that can create for themselves on 1v1 situation. Jürgen just mentioned Christian Pulisic, and we expect that from him. Gio Reyna can do that as well. If you add Yunus Musa to that equation, then you have something different as well. There is variety to the attack of the U.S. national team that we really haven't seen in the past with any sort of consistency. Now, this is not a finished product. We will see what they become, what Musa becomes, what Gio Reyna becomes, even what Christian Pulisic becomes and what their roles are and how they grow within this national team. But there's a lot of signs here to be very positive about.
Jürgen, we talk about the amount of youth that's coming through the setup, and you look at the fact that Greg Berhalter doesn't have too much time with these players to work on them and judge them within an international way. So these sort of games and these sort of lead-ups to the matches, the training sessions are all key.
Yeah, definitely. They are very important. Every day he's having these players around him and gets him together to build the group, to build the spirit, And to develop these players is very important. Obviously, you have a Gold Cup coming up in the summertime. You have qualifiers coming up as well. I mean, the big picture is clear. It's Qatar 2022, December 2022. That's where things really, really matter. But when you look now at the roster, you look, you know, the players that come through the MLS pipeline, you look at the players that come through the European pipeline, and you know, you didn't have a Tyler Adams there, you didn't have a Weston McKennie there, but still they get a wave of 3 points there in Northern Ireland. This is impressive, and it should really give them confidence going forward. There's still a lot of work to get done with these youngsters, but it's very promising.
Jürgen Ali, as always, thank you very much for a lot more reaction to that victory for the US against Northern Ireland. Be sure to download the latest edition of Football Americas that drops on Monday, streaming on ESPN Plus at 6 p.m. Eastern.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We'll end the show by checking out a couple of other groups. God, it's hard to watch this game. France with a 2-0 victory against Kazakhstan, I suppose. At least it's a victory after that draw against Ukraine. Speaking of the Ukraine, they could only manage a 1-1 draw at home against Finland. So France, top of the table with 4 points. Elsewhere, Denmark looking good. They absolutely destroyed Moldova by 8-0. To put them at the top of the group, they are cruising at the moment. For a while, Austria were 1-0 down against the Faroe Islands. They, though, inevitably came back to make it 3-1. Scotland can only manage a 1-1 draw away against Israel. That's it then. That brings us to the end of today. Shaq, it was interesting because we were talking about how the big boys haven't shone. And, like, who's been the best performance? You brought up a good name.
Turkey.
Yeah.
Who would have thought that we'd be discussing Turkey in World Cup qualifying, given how good they've been? Beat the Dutch, beat Norway, a difficult place to go, yet still they have 6 points after those two games. And in this odd year of so many games and everything that the pandemic has caused and coming in to a major European championship, and you're looking for those big boys to find form, to find consistency, just about the only team that can boast of the last two games, the Turks.
We're recording this during Puerto Rico, Trinidad and Tobago. Puerto Rico have just scored, Shaq.
Oh, goodness me.
That's it. We'll be back tomorrow for more. Bye-bye. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweet. I apologise in advance for Shaka's somewhat distracted contribution to this segment, because Puerto Rico, Trinidad and Tobago.
Second half about to kick off, Dan.
How was the first half?
Not great. 0-0. So
this is World Cup qualifying,
yes? Yeah? It is.
So this is big time.
This is very big time,
there,
Dan.
There you go. We also joined by Frank, Nadim and Ali are with us as well to answer your tweets. The first question is for Nadim. What do you think about many of the Manchester City players playing almost all of the minutes for their international teams? Could this lack of rest hamper their chance of a quadruple? Oh, poor old Manchester City.
No.
What a shame.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. For me personally, players who want to play, they go out and they play. The players at the highest level, they play for the national team, they qualify for World Cups, and they enjoy being in that environment. When they go and play for their national team, they're around people who are like them. They're not away from home. They're in their homes. They enjoy it. Allow them to go, to play well, enjoy being in that environment, come back energized because they're ready to go and finish off their next job. But it's an honor to play for your national team. So why should it be a problem?
Ali, what was it like when you used to go from MLS to Venezuela? How did the other players react to you?
We're welcoming arms.
Yeah. What are you saying, what your relationship, man, with some people are like.
No, they love me. What? I mean, I'm a lovable guy. I'm a good team player.
Yeah.
I think going into the national team is a different experience altogether. And I think as I got older and I appreciated more and more the fact that I was still part of the picture, I think what I wanted to bring was – some of my own personal experience and the things that worked at club level for me that I thought would be useful to the national team. If you have enough players doing that, then you create a positive environment and an environment in which everybody appreciates the work that everybody's putting in. And if on top of that you're getting enough results, then obviously that environment gathers a whole lot more momentum. Going to the national team, there's no second to that. And I just believe that it's something that is not guaranteed in any contract. It's an honor, it's a privilege, it's something that you deserve and you earn. And to be there, you have to make the most of every opportunity you have.
There were occasions, weren't there, Shaq, where maybe you're a little late back from international duty, given how much you...
Not me, Dan.
No?
No, I don't know what you... I was never laid back. Ever,
no.
Not once.
Wasn't there a story of Dwight York and Sir Alex Ferguson?
That's a story of Dwight York,
right.
And Sir Alex Ferguson.
You weren't on that party plane.
I was not there, Dad. I was never laid back ever.
How come you weren't on the party plane?
Let's move on, Dad.
What were you doing?
I was injured.
I was injured.
Not that I would have stayed.
No, definitely.
Because I have a reputation of never being laid back from international duty.
Oh, there you go. Frank, you're Frank in that whether we like it or not, you're a big personality, you talk a lot. Did that personality, like when you were young going into that international group full of so many big names, did you still carry yourself in the same way?
Yes, I would say yes. I've always been respectful, but I've always been frank. So I myself, I don't want to change my way of thinking, speaking, living my life, whether you like me or not, you like it or not. You know, I'm capable of listening to people like I just did, and it was very interesting. But when you ask me a question, I answer, and I like to communicate. That's it. I don't know if it's enough for your answer, but you know, it's full of ego when you go with the national team, and everybody has to accept the others, and it wasn't really a problem, you know. And again, I don't care. I just say what I think. That's good.
Frank, did the dynamic change after you won the World Cup, playing domestic football, after the highs of '98, going back? You know, how did that change things, if at all?
For me to talk after the World Cup?
No, not for you to talk.
To before?
The same motivation, like the same desire to play after you achieve the absolute pinnacle.
Well, I would say that straight after winning the World Cup, when we went back with Marcel Desailly to Stamford Bridge, we didn't want to run anymore.
Really?
When you get the growl, you don't want to do anything. You wonder, you know, why do we do that? We reached the top, so why do we need to run again? But at the end of the day, after a month, you go back, you come back to earth, let's say, and you go back to the basics, and you start running, you start playing, you start enjoying, and you start winning, and you start, you know, willing to win other trophies, and it comes naturally, I would say, and we kept on winning. I won the Super Cup final against Real Madrid like a month after winning the World Cup with France. So. No, it comes back naturally. We're competitors, so we like winning. We really like winning.
Ali, Pedri's passing, vision, skills at such a tender age of 18 is quite unreal. Could he become the next Spanish midfield maestro? What word am I looking for? Maestro? No.
Maestro.
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 It's English. It's English, Dan.
Oh, come on.
Oh.
It's Italian.
Easy maestro. For you to say, Dan.
Yes.
look, Pedri was very good today and has been very good for Barcelona. And I think what's most impressive about Pedri is that today, in a game that was getting out of hand for Spain, that Spain was uncomfortable, didn't quite know how to get the answers that Georgia was sort of kind of taking away from them with the defending and the fighting and the physicality. Pedri, every time he touched the ball, he seemed the calmest guy on the field. And for a young man like Pedri to be carrying himself like that and that sort of level, World Cup qualifier with Spain under pressure, that tells you everything that you need to know about him as a player. He is some kind of special.
Another question on Spain, Ali. Do you think Jordi Alba this season, assisting both Barcelona and Spain, is the best left back in the world right now?
Yeah, off the top of my head, I would say that Jordi Alba is critical to the success of both Spain and Barcelona. The difference between his play with Spain and his play with Barcelona is that usually when we see him from Barcelona, we see him getting on the end of balls being played by Lionel Messi, and he is very much an important part of what Barcelona does in the attack. For Spain, it's a little bit different because he doesn't quite have that guy to play those sort of balls. Pedri did a little bit of that today, so his role changes a little bit, and yet he's still effective. It says a lot about Jordi Alba.
Final question, and I'm drawn to you for this one, Xhaka.
Right.
What was the most embarrassing thing an opponent ever did to you on the pitch, whether it be a sumptuous skill or something else?
Most embarrassing?
I scored on him. That's embarrassing.
Yeah, that's pretty embarrassing. Just Ali scoring.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what is the most embarrassing. I can't think of anything offhand like that. I don't know.
Nothing sticks out.
No.
Nathan.
Easy decision. So when I was 18, I was playing against Le Manager's or Loa, and he got me in the corner and he did a skill, went through my legs and ran around. And that was bad enough by itself, but it made the annual DVD for Soccer AM for 10 years straight. So I could never escape the moment. So without question, that is the most embarrassing thing. And in the end, you just have to say, well, you did well.
Oh, man.
Is what it is.
And you didn't even get any royalties for that.
Listen, I get humiliated for that. He still sometimes posts that clip onto his social media. That's how good it was.
Fantastic.
So please, nobody go look for it. Nobody send it.
Now we're all obviously going to go look for it. Yeah, that's it. Finally, Frank, you, most embarrassing thing that's happened to you on the pitch?
Definitely a Clásico Marseille-Paris in Marseille, where we were already losing 1-0 and I tried to launch a long pass from left to right and I completely missed it and I gave the ball to Ronaldinho, who got the ball back and ran straight to the goal. And you see me running every time I see the picture, you know, it's so embarrassing that I'm going to switch off the TV. You see me running after him, never catching him, and him scoring and killing us. And well, you know, the Paris Saint-Germain fans, when they want to tease me in Paris, and I live alongside Paris, they say, oh my God, good pass to Ronaldinho, Frankie. Thank you very much. So I have to remember it.
And then do you say, how many World Cups have you won?
Well, no, I just laugh at it. You know, you have to accept it. And that was embarrassing, very much embarrassing. But whatever, it's part of our game.
Ali?
Well, I don't know if it's embarrassing as much as it was feeling violated. I got a little oil check.
No! Why'd you bring people might be eating, Ali?
Well, I'm just telling you, I didn't feel great about it. You said embarrassing. Well, that didn't make me feel a whole proud about myself and what I was doing with my life.
Oh, damn.
I'll tell you, it happened. I'm not making this up. And thinking about it doesn't make me any more comfortable.
Oh, man. Now I have to ask about it. Who was it that was doing the check?
Midas touch. Who had the Midas touch?
It was not the Midas touch.
Oh.
It's a defender from Paraguay.
Wow. This isn't an over 40 thing either. This is a.
What? Was that?
It's not
the pitch. We're not in the dark.
Very much in my 20s.
I totally misunderstood what you were trying to say there, Dan.
Oh, dear. There we are. That is it. Let's see if that makes the cut. We will be back. We will be back tomorrow. It's got hot in here, Shaq. No one else still?
I haven't checked all of extra time.
Distracted. We'll be back tomorrow for more. Until then, goodbye.